Good afternoon, people. People of the church at Briarfield, Christians. We're here on Saturday afternoon again, recording this program to have it available to you on Sunday morning. Hopefully at about the same time, we find ourselves in a very unsettling situation everywhere. A lot of people are being put ill at ease because of things that they're told to do. And it's coming to a point probably where we'll be forced to do it. And believe it or not, this is probably something in God's world that we need in order that we might learn how to deal with authorities that are over us. But I know this, every day we survive this pandemic, we are one day closer to putting this behind us. I heard from a medical person this week that they have the 20th of April designated for us in the regular scheme of things, according to when it started, that will be our highest number. So it'll be at least then before we start going the other way. But I want to welcome you to this session, for you who may be anxious, for you who are feeling a little unsettled, that find that when you come to church, that it seems to put you back on the right path, seems to get your mind back right, seems to get you thinking properly again. For you, I hope this can do it for you. Almost as good as being here. The atmosphere has a lot to do with it, and attempting to preach in this empty room is somewhat of a task for me. I have realized in the last week how much I miss you guys and how much I miss church on Sunday. But with God's help, I'll try to give you what I think He has given to me to give you, and hope that it will suffice for what your needs are at this time. We normally operate in a routine, and of course our routine has been interrupted. The routine probably would be another sermon from Acts, but this morning I felt this week that God would have me say something concerning where each one of us is, or where each one of us are as an individual in this unsettling time that we are in. I want to make you aware that Joni Clark, for a prayer request, Pam had to carry her back into the hospital this week for what they said was an inversion, and after looking up and calling Pam, and we found out that they were shocking her heart back into rhythm. So we pray for Joni. We want to remember Tate, the guy that was in the wreck, that was burned so bad. We have found out and confirmed since then that he is in the hospital with coronavirus. And to be aware of some friends of Jim Adams, who is in the hospital at Tuscaloosa. One of them is in the hospital with coronavirus, and her friend and Mr. Jim have both spent time with him. So keep them in your prayers for this. But at this time, this is all the prayer lists we have for this time. We hope you have found our new communication page on the internet for prayer requests and to bring church type information from one to the other. And I think now that everybody has been changed over to the new place, and hopefully it will do for you what the church hopes it will do for you. We have found that they have put out a new order that we're to remain sheltered in place, to quarantine ourselves until the end of April. So unless the leadership of the church chooses to override that order, which I don't think they will, then we won't be having church again until the first of the month. So with this prayer request and no other announcements, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, you've known all along, and we know now, just how very needy a people we are. We have seen what's happening in the news to some of our friends and to a lot of our countrymen with this pandemic, and people are sick and are being hospitalized in great, and people are dying. And Lord, we know that you have every single thing about all of this under control. So Lord, we pray today for those folks that are sick, for those families of those who have passed away. We pray for those who may be anxious because of the possibility of this disease. We pray that we might be submissive to not only your will, but the will of those you've placed in authority over us, that we might be responsible in such a way that we might keep the spread of this plague down as much as we can. So Lord, for another thought, as so many of us are staying at home, holding the family together, take this time, Lord, as we slow down, to teach us, to show us what the real things are, to give us an idea of what our life is all about. Lord, make us aware of the world around us and what its influence is on us, each one of us, that we might know what our Bible tells us, that we are all sufficient in Jesus Christ. So Lord, teach us to hold on close and tight, and to be aware that we are in the palm of your hand, no matter what situation we happen to be in or is around the edges of us. And Lord, we pray today to fill us with your Spirit, that we may understand the things of yours, that you might forgive us for our sins. And Lord, that you would accept our many thanks for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, these scriptures that God has assigned me today is scriptures that most all of us are aware of. And I guess really what I'm doing is reminding us, if we've been just a little bit rattled with our environment, to remind us of what these scriptures have said again as we look at them in seeking the choices that we need to make for ourselves and for our families. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So we've gone over this a couple of times in the last few weeks, I guess. But I'd like to further confirm to you that in Jesus we can have peace. Now you know best how to assess what situation you are in now and what situation you've been in. As far as your concern and your worry about all this is going on, it's as one fellow said, we're kind of in a war because so many of the future wars are going to look like this. They'll probably be biological in nature, and maybe this is a taste of what is possible to come. But today, for whatever shape we happen to be in, we know that we can have peace in Jesus. And that peace really and truly is what everybody's looking for. They're looking for it in all kind of places and in all kind of ways. But peace is what we all really need. He brings up in this scripture that in this world we shall have tribulation, and that's what we have now. That's what we're dealing with now all over the United States, at least. The world is handing us tribulation. But I want to, and also, but it said to be of good cheer. Now, how cheerful have you been? Has this thing got you scared? Because it says the peace that we can have in Jesus Christ is because he has overcome this world that we're living in. He proved that by commanding Satan. But I want to bring something to your mind. Probably the thing that's bothering you now is something about having to stay at home, not to be able to go where you want, to travel how you would like to travel, to vacation, or do all these things that you want to do. It's about doing without sports. It's about doing without so much of our entertainment. It's about doing without our fellowship with everybody. But recognize, please, this pandemic is not taking us away from God. It's taking us away from the world. And the world is the very thing that is giving us the tribulation. John in John 1, 1 John, talks about us and them and we and they, talking about we that serve Christ and those that serve the world and Satan. So this thing really has probably, in God's sight, done us a favor to get us to slow down a little bit, to get back with our families and think about things that are the, should be the priorities in our life. We're okay. We're okay because we're having to get away from the world. We're in a better place. If not everywhere, we at least see in the Bible that the world is constantly changing. The world and our life is all about change. We see things in the Old Testament where people every day had to be involved in some activity that morning when they got up they didn't know they would be involved in. And that's where we find ourselves today, waking up each morning looking at the news to see what new thing has come our way. So our life is about change. And we realize that nothing really stays the same. But as a rule, we don't like change. Most of us, if we're somewhat comfortable, would rather not to have to look at change. We'd rather stay in our routine and our rut, do the same thing every day and not have to worry about a lot of surprises or a lot of scary things that come into our lives. Sometimes maybe we're not too comfortable and we still don't like change. We find that we have some security in things that are familiar with us. As after I was saved and I was attempting to learn to live with God, I developed an expression in my teenage years called hanging loose with the Lord, because I had found out that the walk with God through Jesus Christ is a very adventurous one, and if you are willing to step out, God will send you to a lot of new places and have you involved in a lot of new things and have a lot of new people sent your way that you might have some influence on, spiritually speaking at least. One of the biggest changes that I have found in my 77 and a half years is this thing of salvation. It changed me from everything I was to everything I am now, and I find that every single day I'm still changing. It's part of the process. People in our part of the world, as part of Alabama, I think, accept the fact that if they know you've got Jesus, that you're going to change, and they look for that change. But it's an adventure. Rather than something to fear, if we know that God has us in His hand, and that He knows everything that's coming tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month and next year, there's no reason for us to fear. Salvation changes our plan to God's plan. There's only one thing about it. We can study Scripture, we can listen to preachers, we can listen to teachers, and we don't totally always know exactly what God's plan is. But somehow early on we begin to learn that being in the middle of that plan that God has is the best place for us. That being a new man in Christ changes who we are. It changes our priorities. It changes our friends. It changes where we go and what we do and what our outlook is on life. Some changes are uncomfortable. Some changes are uncomfortable for some people that don't seem to be too uncomfortable for other people. So I ask you now, assess yourself. How are you handling it? Because I'll say this. There's an old saying that sometimes when we pray and ask God to change our situation, instead of calming the storm, He calms the sailor. He doesn't change our situation. Throughout the Scriptures, I think we can see an underlying principle there, that God gives us the abilities to cope with wherever we happen to be. That's what He's always done. And as those people who traveled with Jesus when He was here in the flesh saw, the things that made them so afraid didn't bother Him at all. They ask him at one point in the boat with a storm, "Don't you care what happens to us?" And he turned around and spoke to the storm to hush. And it did exactly what he told it to do. And people were so amazed. This Jesus, from whom we can be in and have peace, can do that for us in whatever storm it happens to be. We tend to want to change to the world and its securities. It says at one place in the Bible, it uses a term, don't keep on changing like you're changing. Change into what God wants you to be. So the world, the Bible assumes, is constantly making us more like it and Satan. We tend to cling to that world and to a lot of the securities that it offers. We still worry about enough food and enough clothes and enough money and enough insurance. And you fill in the blank. Enough what? Because Jesus told us that we shouldn't even think a thought about those kind of things, because he's going to supply us with every one of them. But we learn the world's not going to give us peace. I hope that you have been enough down this journey to realize that the peace is not going to be in the things the world offers. The only way you can get the peace that passeth all understanding is to get it from Jesus Christ. We see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 where it lists the nine gift parts of the gift, singular, of the Spirit. Two of those parts of that gift are long-suffering and self-control. That is the thing, those things, the tolerance and the discipline, is the things that the Holy Spirit is trying to build into each one of us as a Christian. And having those things, to whatever degree, are the things that keep us from being anxious and afraid, keep us from wondering what's going to happen the next day, is when we have enough long-suffering and self-control. The Holy Spirit is what is giving you this, not the world. It said that even Jesus learned obedience and self-control and long-suffering by the things that he suffered. So if we find ourselves now in a place where we're suffering a little bit, these are the things that the suffering is for. The Holy Spirit, as I said, is doing this for you, not the world. The world is, or Satan, is trying to convince you that in them you can have peace. They give you alarm systems and insurance and savings accounts and doctors and hospitals, and they try to make you think that with all these things you can have security. Don't you believe it? There is no security at all in this life other than through Jesus Christ. God has a plan. That plan is for you and it's for me. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, or starting with verse 11, Paul tells us that not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. That is probably the secret of a stable life with Jesus Christ, a peaceful life on this earth. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, he says, sometimes I'm down and everybody's on me. And sometimes I'm doing really good and people are praising me. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he makes this statement in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? Do you really? Paul says, whatever happens to me, be it good or bad, I've learned that I can be content with it. I've been hearing some folks talk. I've tried to call several of you people this week, most of the people who live by themselves, and making sure that they have somebody checking in on them. And I've heard the comment several times, if we could just get back to normal. But for most people, folks, that normal is gone. So many people have been affected by this thing. When it settles, there's going to be a new normal. Most people are not going to be like they were. Most people probably in our normally somewhat spoiled state have been going too fast, running wide open, not having times for meals for the families, going here and there thinking that these are the things they must do in order to get through the week. Our work has changed with this thing. Our homes have changed. Our finances have changed. And to some, our priorities have changed. I've been hearing stories after story of people who are making comments that they had almost forgotten how nice it was to be home with their children all day and fix supper for them and fix breakfast for them and find things for them to do to keep them busy during the day. I have heard men say that it's so nice to have their families back around them, their children in their laps. And before, they were too busy for all this. I think that one thing that Satan uses to try to keep us away from God is this thing of hurrying and having a full schedule and running all the time. I've thought several times about years and years ago when a man got up in the morning and he ate his breakfast and he went out and he walked behind a slow mule all day. Had plenty of time to think. He worked hard. He got very dirty. And he came in at night and ate his supper. There was no TV. There was no entertainment. He maybe sat on the front porch for a bit and went to bed and got up and did the same thing the next day. It looks like now that speed has become a part of our lives. And I believe Satan is behind that to keep us from being still and knowing who God is. He says that, be still and know that I am God. And I think to some extent, in order to realize that, we have to slow down and be still. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 27. Verse Verse 27 of the 8th chapter of Romans says, "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now look at that. It's talking about Jesus here. He's searching our hearts to know who we are. And he knows how the Spirit of God thinks, because it's under his supervision. And he's making intercession for us, the Christians, according to the will of God. He is the go-between, between the Holy Spirit that is talking to us and leading and guiding us inside of us 24/7, and God the Father. And it then says in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Do we know that? Do we really know that? Paul here, I think, is assuming that we do. That we know that whatever situation we find ourselves in, he said, that we know. He doesn't say that all things are good that happens to us. He says that they work together for good. So you see, what Paul had learned and is trying to show us, that no matter what comes in your way, no matter what situation you find yourself in, that you can, number one, be content with it, that you can, number two, have peace with it, and number three, you can know that God is bringing you in this situation so that all the things that work together in your life can come out good. That's something that's hard for us to remember. We see ourselves in a mess, and our first thing is to get concerned. Usually the second thing is to look to the world for a solution. And it doesn't have it. But it says that all things that we find ourselves in work for our good, one way or another. So our plans have been replaced by God's plans. We look at the world differently than we did. We look at each other differently. When we slow down and fear, we think of God and know who he is, and realize these scriptures are not just joking about this thing. They're not telling you a tale. They're true. And God is wanting us to know the truth through Jesus Christ. God gets our attention. And when he does, we get more like Jesus. What I hear is there's more attention given to homes and family with this isolation business, this quarantine business. There's more attention to others. Have you noticed lately? I mean, two or three phone calls have brought to my attention that there's more Jesus on TV. The Fox Channel, one of the Fox channels, is running The Passions of Christ. Billy Graham, his son, I have seen more times on TV in the last 3 or 4 weeks than I've seen in a long time, encouraging us to turn to Jesus. We're giving more attention to ourselves and stopping to look just what makes us who we are and what gets us into trouble and what makes us want to go so fast. For Christians, I think, with this situation, we're going to see they have more attention to the world to the lost world. They're going to be more concerned about people in their way that really fear because they don't have Christ. Gives us an opportunity to share Christ with people. More attention to a lost world, as I've said. I heard this week that there is less than a third of the people in the emergency room at Shelby Memorial because of the situation. People apparently are afraid to go. There's one thing I heard. I can't confirm that. I haven't seen figures, but I'm passing it along to you, just something to think about. One person in the medical profession said that the number of people who will not be aborted during this time probably will exceed the number of people who are dying with this pandemic. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know, I have heard, that the abortion business has really got hit a slack. So, what do we do with this information that I've just attempted to share with you? What do we do when we find ourselves in this difficult time? One person has said, do not waste a difficulty you happen to be in. Try to learn. Try to learn something. Try to come out of it ahead. Try to come out of it where God would have you come out of it. Try to be closer to Jesus and to think more about Him. To maybe get a little time to get in your Bibles and be pointed to heavenly things instead of earthly things. Just remember, this pandemic and our authorities are keeping us away from too much world. And that is something that God says is a good thing. In James, He said, if we love the world too much, if we get too friendly with the world, we're going to be enemies to God. So have that for looking for something. Maybe you don't agree that everything is going to work good together for good for us. But that's a few things you can look at, and maybe you'll come up with the same idea, that it's not so bad, that we can come out of this better than we went in it. So, church, hang in there. Like I said, every day we survive is one day closer to this thing being over with. And I don't know if it'll be over with totally for a year or more. It's going to be around, and people are still going to be catching it. People are still probably going to be, some of them going to be dying. So many of these people I've heard that have passed on had underlying problems that was causing probably more to that than the coronavirus, but I don't know that either. But I say to you, look to Jesus. We're sufficient in Him. As Johnny Cash said, we've got Jesus, and that's enough. That's enough. Some of us know a lot of scriptures, some of us don't know too much. But if we know Jesus, that's enough. Let's pray. Father, remind us of Your closeness. Remind us that You are the greatest authority in the world, that You can control everything, and that You do control. And when it looks to us like maybe our world is out of control, we can fully realize that it's not that away with You. So Lord, like Paul, whether we're up or we're down, whether we're happy or sad, whether we feel like we have enough or we don't, make us content. I haven't looked it up, didn't think about it till this very moment. But content and peace must be words that are often a lot alike. So Lord, give us peace. Give us peace until we can get back with each other in whatever time it takes for us to get this behind us. Please make everyone know that whatever they need from church leadership, all they've got to do is call or text. Judy's watching it all day long. So Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord, that I'm missing them. I pray that we might continue to love each other and to pray for each other, to care for each other, and to be aware of each other's needs until we see Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.